Garage experts, all of... No. I was going to say all your garage needs. I mean, they are your garage needs, but it's so much more than that. It is a total, complete transformation of your garage to make it just a room like all the others in your home. It's a living space. It is a space that you enjoy occupying, not some room that is just a giant storage facility. You paid for that square footage. Why not have it be as impressive as the rest of your home? Garage experts can do that for you. They did it for me. They really focus on the three P's: people, product, process. They do all three exceptionally well. I can attest to that. Would not recommend them otherwise. I recommend, whether you are looking to potentially overhaul your garage and make it as much of your home as the rest of your home, just as important in terms of a room as the rest. You got the aesthetics, hundreds of different colors to choose from. It's not the sort of thing that you can do on your own. I know that they have kits, the DIY kits, but the product itself is not anywhere near the level that you get in terms of quality with what it is that garage experts use from a number of different aspects, and they can explain that to you. The process is totally, completely different. The average person does not have the thousands of dollars worth of equipment that they have when it comes to prepping your floor so that it is done properly, so it adheres properly. And, of course, the customized storage as well. Commercial, industrial, you own a restaurant, you have a veterinarian clinic. The flooring is something that has so many different uses, and again, the aesthetics of it is an upgrade to what you currently have, I'm sure. You can find out more by going to garageexperts.com or find them under Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com. We do have Author of the Week coming up, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Jason Ryman now with the latest news update.
Most of the Ozarks dealing with heavy rain and lightning this morning, but a few places lost power after strong storms overnight. A couple hundred customers are without power in Laclede County. Outages also being reported in Benton, Camden, Phelps, and Shannon counties. Firefighters battled a propane leak at Titan Propane AmeriGas in Shell Knob. The Central Crossing Fire Protection District says the Dollar General store on Highway 39 had to be evacuated as a precaution. Fire crews hauled water in from Table Rock Lake. Republican leaders got their wish with the defeat of former Missouri Governor Eric Greitens in the U.S. Senate primary. Now they face another complication. The X factor is John Wood, a Republican running as an independent with substantial financial backing from former Republican Senator John Danforth's Super PAC. A former teacher at Cassville High School has been sentenced to 30 years in federal prison. 31-year-old Brandon McCullough from Branson was sentenced for coercing children to send him pornographic images. I'm Jason Rima, Springfield's Talk 104.1.
First Alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. It is going to be another hot day, showers and storms likely. In fact, there's a flash flood warning until 9:15 for Hickory County, a flood watch until 9 for counties east of Springfield. 93 for a high today, heat index of 173 tonight, sunny, hot tomorrow with a chance of showers and storms. 95 for the high, heat index 100, and hot again Saturday with a high of 94. American Transmission's Talk and Text Line 447-KSGF, ABC Books, sponsoring our Author of the Week in mere moments. I'm Nick Reed, traffic up.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, just south of Kearney, where we've got actually have a physical Author of the Week section there, and we have a digital version. It's a great resource for you when you finish up a book, you're trying to figure out what to read next. Instead of randomly asking people, you can actually go and listen to author interviews at ksgf.com and make your decision that way. And this week we've got Ilya Shapiro, a senior fellow and director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. Previously, he was executive director and senior lecturer at the Georgetown Center for the Constitution. Before that, vice president of the Cato Institute, director of Cato's Robert A. Levy Center for Constitutional Studies, and publisher of the Cato Supreme Court Review. And his book is Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations, and the Politics of America's Highest Court. The process itself, I mean, the aspect of the president saying this is who I want, and then the Senate sitting down and having discussions and deciding whether or not to go ahead and approve that is something that has been long part of American history. But it seems as if something has changed. The approach, the attitude, what has shifted in America when it comes to the way that it is that these Supreme Court appointments are dealt with?
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for the question. That does go right to the central issue here. And what's changed is not that politics is now part of the process, and it wasn't before. I mean, presidents and senators have been politicians from the very beginning. George Washington had a Supreme Court nominee rejected for political reasons by the Senate, and politics has played lots of a role in lots of different ways over the years. What's really changed is that judicial philosophy is the significant metric by which senators evaluate judicial nominees. That really changed around 1968, a pivotal year in American history, culturally, politically, and also in terms of legal politics. Richard Nixon ran on against the Warren Court for strict constructionism, law and order. And ever since then, you know, Robert Bork came along soon thereafter, and the modern age of judicial philosophy. And now we have the culmination of several trends where divergent theories of interpretation map onto political parties or partisan preference at a time when the parties are more ideologically sorted and polarized than at least the Civil War, if not ever. And so every time there's a vacancy in one of these precious seats in this important institution, it's a politically fraught matter, and one on which it's hard to compromise.
Every so often, and of course we've heard it as of late, you have talk about changing the way that the Supreme Court is made up, or the way that appointments are made, or justices are chosen. And sometimes it's clearly political. We'll talk about that in a moment. I would point to court packing as being one of those suggestions. But there are oftentimes discussions that don't seem partisan, politically speaking, so much, one of those being term limits. And I like those discussions because out of the gate, I think, well, I don't really know how I feel about this. So this is something I want to get information from both sides in a thoughtful manner. Talk about that proposal, if you will, the idea of having term limits on Supreme Court justices.
Sure. This is a proposal that does gain support from people in different parts of the ideological spectrum. And as you said, there's not necessarily a now, an advantage for the Democrats or the Republicans, and that's why it actually is something worth looking at. Most importantly, it would enhance public confidence in the court. That is, it would remove, if you had the most common proposal, to have an 18-year term, so vacancy every 2 years, still with a 9-member court, which means every presidential term would have two nominees at a regular time. You'd eliminate these kind of arbitrary vacancies or politically timed retirements, morbid health watches over octogenarian justices, these sorts of odd things. So worth looking at, worth considering. There are a couple of problems. One is that it would require a constitutional amendment, so very difficult to do. And the second is that if a complaint, especially now from kind of the progressive activists, is that the court is too conservative or politicized or what have you, term limits don't really change that, because you would still have elections for presidents and senators, knowing that that president would choose definitely two justices in that term. We wouldn't know exactly when the term limits would start, because the current court, the current justices, can't be limited based on how they were appointed. And so, you know, generally a good idea. I'm generally in favor, since it would enhance public confidence in the court. But to the extent people are complaining about politicization or toxic discourse or whatever people complain about, this particular reform, I don't think would solve that.
Well, I wonder also if it in some ways could even potentially backfire and be manipulated. We've heard that, of course, Ruth Bader Ginsburg waited until she thought Hillary was going to be president so she could be appointed. And you wonder if you did have those appointments every 2 years and you had a couple, let's say, more left-wing members of the Supreme Court and they were up in 2 and 4 years and there was an election coming up in which they thought that their party was going to lose if they would resign early so that they could go ahead and have a couple of appointments made. It's an interesting thought, though, having that every 2 years, though it would seem to be exhausting as long and drawn out as some of these processes have become when it comes to the nomination process. Now, let's do talk about court packing. It's something we've heard a lot about. It's something that the Biden administration has given, I think, mixed signals on from, well, I don't know, elect me and then we'll see, to maybe not, to no, we're not supportive of it. You have some of the more extreme elements of the Democrat Party that certainly have promoted the idea of it. And they're pretty transparent about the reason why. And they cite the fact it's been done before. It can be done again. Talk about the history of it and the implications of something like that happening again in the U.S.
Right. So the number of justices is simply controlled by statute. You don't need a constitutional amendment to change that number. It's been fixed at 9 for 150 years now, so it's a bit of a norm, but all it would take would be an act of Congress to change it. Historically, each time the court has the court number has changed, and it has changed from 6 originally, went all the way up to 10, and then back down to 9 in 1869. It was expanded as the country expanded, as we added federal appellate circuits, but also for political reasons, going back to the fights between Jefferson and Adams and the vision for the nation and federal power, the slavery question, certainly. Lots of different things went on, and so the composition of the court, the number, has never been divorced from political considerations either. And perhaps most famously, or certainly to the forefront of our thinking now, FDR in the 30s, after having won a landslide re-election, was frustrated that he hadn't had any Supreme Court nominees and the court was thwarting the New Deal, his various reform proposals. And so he proposed to add a justice for every justice who is over 70 and a half years old. Why that age? Because that would allow him to gain a majority on the court. Hugely unpopular proposal, even though Democrats had a supermajority in both houses of Congress. And as I said, FDR had just won every state except two. His own vice president campaigned against it. The most progressive justice, Louis Brandeis, spoke publicly against it. And ultimately, it was defeated. In the next midterms, the Democrats lost 81 seats in the House and 8 in the Senate, largely because of that failed proposal. I just had a piece on that history lesson in the Washington Examiner yesterday. And I think similarly the case now, if the Democrats push through, I don't think they have the votes, frankly, in the Senate, even beyond Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema and the filibuster. I think a lot of more moderate Democrats are hiding behind those two. But if the Democrats push this through, listening to their more radical elements, I think that would discredit the court. Instantly, it would be even more politicized. And it would open the door to the Republicans next time they were in power to add even more seats. And as Bernie Sanders, with whom I don't agree on very much, but when he was campaigning, I think it was in 2016, maybe it was even in 2020, he came out against court packing because of this dynamic. He said, in 50 years, we'll have 87 justices. That's no good. And so that I think is the lesson. Hopefully it won't go that far. And that's why I think Joe Biden has been sending mixed signals, because he doesn't want to go down that road.
We're talking with our author of the week, Ilya Shapiro. The book is Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations, and the Politics of America's Highest Court. One of the criticisms that we heard from a number of Republican senators, Susan Collins, Murkowski, amongst them, regarding the Roe v. Wade situation, was that they were misled. And you have almost this accepted presentation that some lawmakers, explicitly say, I will vote for you if you promise me this outcome. Now, on the surface, that seems totally corrupt to me, but it seems to be acceptable to demand to know how will you rule on this or how will you rule on that in order to get my vote for confirmation. But there is this component of approval needed by the Senate. What are the appropriate questions? What is it that these senators are supposed to be asking these Supreme Court justices that are legitimate questions?
Asking about their methodology, asking about, anything short of give me a kind of a sketch out how you would rule on this particular issue. That's not appropriate because, as Justice Ginsburg said when she was testifying in her confirmation hearing, no previews, no forecasts, none of that. It's not appropriate. It's a deviation for judges to act as politically to say, I will vote in this manner, in hopes of securing that vote. And I don't think that any Kavanaugh or Barrett or Gorsuch, I don't think that Collins and Murkowski were misled. I think they read into certain things that those justices, when they were nominees, might have said to them, like Roe v. Wade is a significant precedent that's due all the respect of the precedents of the Supreme Court. It's been ruled upon again and again and affirmed. All of those statements are true, but that doesn't tell you how they would rule if they were presented with the sorts of in-depth, serious arguments that they were in this case this term. So, those who, whether Collins or Murkowski regarding their private meetings or whether certain activists and critics who are saying that these justices, when they were nominees, lied in their hearings. That's just not true. All nominees from both parties going back decades, when asked about these sorts of sensitive issues, will talk a lot and show their deep knowledge of the law, the state of jurisprudence, and say that they respect everything the court's done and say, here are the factors we consider when we look at whether to overturn precedent. All that is fair. But nobody has ever said, and therefore I guarantee I will not vote to overturn. Justice Sotomayor, when she was testifying, said that Heller, the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment, was a settled precedent of the Supreme Court, which it was. And yet she voted going the other way when presented with an actual case. And I don't blame her for that. I don't think that's misdirection. I don't think that's lying. Similarly here, I think some of the politicians just don't appreciate the legal nuance with which these skilled lawyers approach their question answering.
So final question, what is the biggest danger to that particular aspect of our judicial system, the Supreme Court, or the biggest mistake that we could make in trying to, if you will, get things back on track?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that too many people now think of judges and justices not just as conservative and liberal, which is bad enough, but as Republican and Democrat.
Right.
Because, these institutions are different than our elected representatives, than state legislatures, Congress, the presidency, governorship. And if we erase that line and we think of them as kind of junior varsity politicians, then that undermines the rule of law. It makes law no different, the judicial function no different than a political function. We might as well get rid of the judiciary. And I don't think that's good because judges are there to protect minority and individual interests against pure majoritarian would-be oppression and violation of those very rights that the judicial process is meant to secure and protect through our Constitution.
Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Ilya Shapiro, Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations, and the Politics of America's Highest Court on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
Hear about it.
I know I'm beating a dead horse here.
Talk about it.
The hypocrisy and the double standards is kind of unreal.
On Springfield's Talk 104.1. You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Tomorrow's Friday. We do have Friday Road Show. Yes, indeed, we do. That is a show. We ask you to come out if you'd like. Have some breakfast. You got to eat breakfast. Anyway, you should eat breakfast. And that is at Scramblers, 6A to 9A, as we broadcast live Friday, already upon us. Well, it will be tomorrow anyhow. Friday Roadshow is sponsored by Affordable Towing. I do want to remind you about the 12-month 0% financing that is still available for Floors Plus. How long is that going to last? We don't know. We continue to see inflation go up. We got interest rates going up. You know, things, the people, unfortunately, who are in charge right now, their answer to the problem is that there is no problem. And secondly, we're going to continue to do what we, in fact, we're going to do more of what we have been doing in terms of spending and making it more expensive to do business. So how long will offers like 0% financing be available? I don't know the answer to that. But if you've thought even about in the future, recognizing we're going to need new carpeting, we're going to need new flooring. You know, the style of the backsplash in our kitchen or our shower is no longer up to date. We want to change it. Floors Plus, Nixa, Springfield. Stop by one of their two locations, and they're great people to deal with. They're experts in their field. They don't try to upsell you at all. They'll find out how you use what it is that your flooring and the carpeting or the luxury vinyl planking or whatever it is, whatever type of flooring that is most appropriate for your usage, and then you decide from there. It's simple. They'll come do measurement and say this is what it costs, and then set up a time. 0% financing, 12 months. Floors Plus in Nixa and Springfield. Their contact info under Nick's endorsements at ksgf.com.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Navant. Employee benefits that work. Flash flood warning until 9:15 for Hickory County. Flood watch until 9 this morning for counties east of Springfield. We're going to see those showers and storms off and on, potentially through the day. High of 93, heat index of 173 tonight. Slight chance of showers, storms tomorrow. High of 95, heat index 100, and Saturday sunny and hot. High of 94. There's a chance on, sunny Sunday, 95, but then showers and thunderstorms are potentially going to pop back up on Monday. There, of course, has been a great deal of discussion about Nancy Pelosi going to China. Was it worth it? Was it not worth it? Was it the right thing to do? Was it not the right thing to do? China, they're doing all sorts of military drills. I thought it was an interesting and smart tactic of theirs to punish Taiwan. They have blocked imports of all sorts of different, like, snack type foods that get imported to China from Taiwan. And of course, the idea behind that is, oh, so, you know, okay, U.S., don't do this. If you do this, we're going to take some form of punitive actions. And we're like, you can't do anything to hurt us. And they're like, oh, no, not against you, against Taiwan. It's sort of like that situation you see in a movie where there's the guy, the alpha guy, the tough guy, and then there's the kids or the pretty young gal, and they're trying to get him to talk. And he gets out a knife and he's like, if you don't talk, someone's going to lose their tongue. And he's like, go ahead, I'm not afraid of you. Cut my tongue out. And they're like, I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about his or hers, or, you know, the kid over there. And then, you know, all of a sudden everything changes. So they're like, okay, maybe we won't do anything to punish you, economically speaking. We'll take it out in Taiwan. And then all this, that's a different scenario. So it's pretty clever tactic. It has been interesting because, as you know, you've got the Biden administration that has, by all accounts, he did not want Nancy Pelosi to go to China because China didn't want, or I mean, sorry, Taiwan, because China did not want Nancy Pelosi to go to Taiwan. And as we have seen consistently, this is yet another example, Biden acts on the behalf of China whenever there is a push comes to shove situation. China, for whatever reason, controls Joe Biden when it comes to these things. I mean, I want you to think about that for a moment. You have the President of the United States acting as the lapdog for China when it came to the issue of Pelosi. I mean, it would be one thing politically if Republicans were in control and it were a Republican speaker. You could at least to some degree understand. But do you realize how under the thumb of China Joe Biden has to be to call out the Speaker of the House from his own party saying that she shouldn't go? And saying, because the military, it's not me, it's not political, the United States military says she shouldn't go. Trashing on her that way? That is total China. Meanwhile, you have Republicans that are, you know, put politics aside and have said, look, whether or not she should have gone or shouldn't, but now she, you know, she's got, you can't back down. You can't listen to China and Biden. You know, we cannot allow some foreign country to dictate what countries we visit. We're not going to allow that to happen. China does not control the United States. They may control Biden. And they may have influence over decisions that he has made, which have been pretty impactful. One of them, reversing the policy of the Trump administration to put a more dutifully watchful eye on the communist Chinese spying within the university campuses and the infiltration that they've done there. You know, there's a lot of research that takes place on these university campuses, and it is not uncommon to find individuals that are working on behalf of the communist Chinese that are stealing secrets, that are infiltrating for the purposes of sabotage and intellectual theft of research that goes on our university campuses. And so Trump recognized this, and not being one to kowtow to dictators, said we need to put a renewed effort on this. The Chinese balked at it. Universities balked at it because the universities get millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars from the communist Chinese. They don't want to lose that money. But the Trump administration said, sorry, country first, national security first. We're not going to, and everyone knows what's going on. It's not a secret. Joe Biden comes in and reverses it, said, nope, stop looking into it. He did essentially the same thing that he did when it came to the investigation by the Ukrainians into the corruption of Burisma. He ordered them to stop looking into it. The difference this time, it is our own country. It is the known spying and intellectual theft by the communist Chinese. Biden knows it's occurring. Everyone knows it's occurring, but Biden said, stop looking at it. But you have Republicans that are standing up for Pelosi, and it's not Pelosi herself, but it's the Speaker's position. They're putting politics aside. It doesn't matter to them whether she's Democrat or Republican. We don't allow other countries as a country to push us around, even if the president does. The following story I thought was, see, this has put Democrats in an awkward position. Because Democrats generally make all of their positions based on politics. It's not about what's right. It's not about what works. It's not about the country. It's politics. This is why so consistently they will rail against, or they would rail against Trump for doing something. But when Biden does it, they support it. Because it's all politics. So this headline is just a perfect illustration of the rock and a hard place that the Democrats are in right now, because they can't, what side do they take? Biden's a Democrat. Pelosi's a Democrat. They're sympathetic, of course, to the ideological ideals of the communist Chinese. And so they're like, I don't know which side, which parent do we pick here? We don't know which way to go. Here's a headline. First on Fox, Sanders Warren declined to comment on Pelosi's Taiwan trip. Oh, two of the biggest loudmouths in the Senate all of a sudden have nothing to say. I mean, really, can you think of two U.S. senators that are bigger loudmouths than Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, that love to flap their lips, that love to point their fingers, that love to lay accusations at people and accuse people of the most atrocious thing? I mean, if you are looking for somebody to flap their lips about somebody, it is either Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. Oh, and the left, they really praise them for it, too. They're so brave. I really like Elizabeth because she's not afraid to say what she thinks. Oh, I love Bernie Sanders because when it really comes down to it, he doesn't let politics get in the way. He stands up for what he believes in. All of a sudden, they're tight-lipped and have nothing to say. Isn't that amazing? These brave warriors of the truth. Progressive Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren both declined to comment on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan amid increased tensions between the U.S. and China. Fox News Digital asked both Sanders and Warren in the Senate side basement of the U.S. Capitol if they had any thoughts on Pelosi's trip to Taiwan. Now, this is an issue that pretty much everyone has a thought on. And it's a worldwide issue, by the way. This is not some incidental issue. Warren's response, quote, no, end quote, before escaping to an elevator. Sanders waved off Fox News Digital from the inside of an elevator when he was asked. Boy, these brave Democrat senators. Of the two senators that fancy themselves speakers of the truth, warriors for what is right, standing above the rest because they have no fear in making sure the world knows exactly where they stand. But when it comes to China and not knowing which side is the Democrats, because you got China, the communists, which of course it's pretty much, you know, again, government control of everything, which they're sympathetic to. You have Nancy Pelosi, Democrat Speaker of the House. You got Joe Biden, Democrat in the White House. It almost suggests that they really don't have their own independent thought. They simply do whatever it is that the party line is. And now that that is not clear, they don't know what to say. Perhaps they're not the independent, brave, vocal individuals independent of party politics that they claim they are, but instead lapdogs waiting for their order, but now they got three different masters with three different messages. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Sarah Myers.
Beatles Property Maintenance. Beatles is spelled B-E-A-D-L-E-S. And what do they do? Well, I will tell you, they do a variety of home repairs and maintenance. So if you are out there in Radio Land and you find yourself needing some company to come in and help you out, well, Beatles is not just some company. They are the company that you can know and trust to get the job done correctly. Now, they do a lot of different things. Now, they can do a lot of big name issues that come up with homes. Maybe you have an issue that's in your crawl space. Well, the Beatles team, they're not afraid. They will crawl in there and they will get the job done. And maybe you have a smaller job that needs to be done. Maybe you just want a bathroom remodel. Well, that's something that Beatles Property Maintenance can do for you as well. Now, whether you do have a big job or a small job, give them a call today. Have them come out and see if they can help you out there. You can find all of their contact information housed at KSGF.com under the Sarah's Endorsements tab.
I wanted to mention this visual that actually I had an emotional reaction to, and it regards Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. And the issue itself as to whether she should or shouldn't have gone and all these, you know, here's the thing. Well, part of it anyhow. Number one, I believe that intelligent people can have differing opinions on this. Two, the only reason this has even become an issue is because of Biden. Generally, the way these things work, particularly with some sort of, you know, visit that might be controversial, is it's not even ever, like, it's not known ahead of time. It happens. There may be some photo released or something after the fact. And in a situation like this, it would be kind of ignored or downplayed by China because they don't want any attention paid to it because it's seen as, you know, a slight to them and their authority and their claims to Taiwan. And so they don't want much attention paid to it. We don't want much attention paid to it because we don't want China, because we don't want what's happening now to happen. So when these scenarios generally play out, it is without much attention and without much fanfare. It's sort of everyone just agrees to just sort of ignore it on the world stage. But again, this isn't something that anyone's publicly disagreeing with. It seems to be pretty universal, Democrats and Republicans, that Biden, he leaked it so that it would become an issue to where he could hopefully stop her from going. And of course, therein lies the reason why. And the only reasonable reason that anyone has provided thus far is because China, you know, it's at the behest of China. Because ultimately, when it comes down to it, of course, if China has their preference, they don't want her to go. And so he took steps, unprecedented steps, to try and sabotage her visit. Can we for a moment imagine what would have happened if Trump had done that? You know, they would have impeached him over that as well. They would have not only impeached him, of course, they'd be talking about whether or not he could be put in jail for it. He would be painted as he being in the pocket of the Chinese, and because, oh, he's got money in a bank in China, that they own him. That's why he's undermining his own country for China and putting her life in danger. You would have the idiots on MSNBC and CNN openly speculating as to whether or not maybe that was part of his plan to get rid of her. All that aside, I watched footage of Pelosi was somewhere, and I don't know exactly where this was. I don't think it was the airport. It may have been the airport. It seemed like it was some sort of hotel setting, but where it was wasn't so important, but it was what was happening, and there's footage of hundreds of Taiwanese people running towards wherever it was that she was, and I don't know if the plane was there or if it, but there was U.S. symbols on whatever vehicle or transportation, and they all had their phones, and they were frantically running towards anywhere as close as they could get in order to get a glimpse at Nancy Pelosi. And don't get me wrong, I don't like Nancy Pelosi. And it wasn't about Nancy Pelosi, but it was about what some people throughout this world, in countries that most Americans can't even find on a map, still see in what America at least at one time represented and represents to them. And we see this sort of thing in Hong Kong before the communist Chinese really clamped down on them, where at their protests they would have American flags and Trump stuff, and here and to see, it's such an unfortunate juxtaposition that in our country today, what you have most of the active participation in any sort of crowd gathering or getting together here in the United States, it's to threaten a Supreme Court justice. It is to threaten, pro-life people. It is to burn down buildings. Generally, any sort of mass grouping of people that are making their way to some sort of political event, it's because America's awful, it's America's racist. And here over in Taiwan, you have these people, and many of them, they don't even know that maybe Nancy Pelosi, all they know is America. Someone from America is here. And watching those people running in excitement just to see that on the other side, I mean, that's nothing in America we would ever do for any other foreign leader. Like, oh, guess what? The leader of the controlling party of parliament in France is coming. I mean, if they came to Springfield, most people are like, oh, I wonder why they're here. That's here. And in Taiwan, they're running as fast as they can just to get a glimpse in real life of something that is part of the United States. And it, I don't know, there was just something about it that it's like, it's almost sad that what is actually being done in this country, particularly by one political party with the Stalin trials that they have going on right now, that we have become what we have become, yet over in a country, you know, on the other side of the world, that level of excitement at what they see the United States representing is just, I don't know, it just struck me. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Don't forget all those home loan needs again. Don Carricker, iwantagreathomeloan.com. The site itself, it's not just about filling out info and getting started. A lot of very valuable information for you to take into consideration when it comes to whether or not it's the right time. Like, interest rates are going up. Should I wait? Visit iwantagreathomeloan.com because you do. Glenn Beck's